Blog Talk Radio.
They say this mountain can't be moved. They say these chains will never break. But they don't know you like we do. There is power in your name. We've heard that there is no way through. We've heard the tide will never change. They haven't seen what you can do. There is power in your name. So much power in your name. Move in and move alone. Break the unbreakable. God, we believe. God, we believe for it. From the impossible, we'll see a miracle. God, we believe. God, we believe. We know that hope is ever lost. Oh, for there is still an easy grace. God, we believe no matter what. There is power in your name. So much power in your name.
God, we be.
Yes, sir. That's what we have to do. We have to believe for it. It's all about believing. From the time you meet Christ through eternity, you have to believe for it. Hey, welcome to the Word at Noon. I am Lewis Beasley, Apostle of Jesus Christ, called by the will of God to all the saints and faithful in Christ Jesus. We're truly happy to have each and every one of you all. We're going to ask Pastor Dale from Akron, Ohio, if she'll give us a word of prayer, and then we'll continue on. Pastor Dale.
Praise the Lord. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that song. Amen. And the scripture I'd like to read is coming from Romans, the 10th chapter and the 9th verse. That is, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. We're thanking you, Father God, for another day. Thanking you, Father God, for our pastor. Thanking you, Father God, for those who are listening and those that are listening by internet, Father God. Lord, we just ask that you would bless the word as it goes forth today, Father God. Be with all those who've asked them in prayer, Lord. You know their hearts and their heart's desire, what they're going through, Father God. But there's nothing impossible for you to do. Father God, be with those that are sick and shut in. You said in your word, by your stripes they're healed, Father God. And we pray for their healing, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus. And be with the bereaved family, Father God, those that are going through for such a time as this. Strengthen their hearts and comfort them, Father God, as they go through, Lord. Lord, we ask that you open up our hearts and our minds to receive this word today, Father. And we just thank you for our pastor as he teaches the word and being led by the Spirit of God. Continue to have your way in his life, Father God, and in our lives as well. We ask it all in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor, for that heartfelt prayer. We thank God for each and every one of you all. We thank God for Minister Robertson, who on Friday and on yesterday, he brought forth I want to say a short message, but anyway, he brought forth a question that, and the question is what we're going to answer this week. And his question was, the difference between, or is there a difference between knowing and believing? Knowing and believing. And what we said on yesterday was, to arrive to believe, you have to first have truth, then you have knowledge, then you have belief. So knowledge is different, belief is different, but where you get the knowledge from and where you get the belief from is what we're going to talk about this week. Now, before I really get into that, let me say, first of all, after Minister Robertson expressed himself on yesterday, it was about the new creation. It was about being in Christ. And he used the analogy of hope and wishing. And it's true. You don't, if you're in Christ, you don't have to hope to be in Christ. You don't have to wish to be in Christ. And another statement he made about you should be moved past that. And that's absolutely true, especially when you're talking about kingship and queenship. And he made mention that that's what have helped us back, or that's what have helped the church back, because they're not teaching who you are in Christ, pretty much. That's what I got out of it. And the other thing I got out of it was that, and Minister Robertson, you can correct me, if you like, just press one. And the other thing I got out of it is that we need to realize that we don't hope or wish, because that's what holds you back. You have to know. So that's where knowing come in at, knowing and believing. But let me say this to you, brother and sister. The star of this show is believing, okay? It's believing. And one of our foundational scriptures is going to be found right there in Romans 10. And I think I'm going to start with probably the, actually, I could start with the 12th verse. But Romans 10, and I think I'm going to start with the 14th verse. The 14th verse says this, and if you notice what the subject is and listen to what we're reading here, get your Bible. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Wow. Thank the church I grew up in. They didn't have no good things and glad tidings. Nobody happy. Message was sad. But anyway, that's another story. The 16th verse read like this. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esau said, Lord, who have believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know, Pastor, do you have that in the Messenger Bible? Verses 14 through 17?
Yes.
Or is that read 20 through 20? Okay.
Amen. Reading from the Message Bible. But how can the people call for help if they don't know who to trust? And how can they know who to trust if they haven't heard the one who can be trusted? And how can they hear if nobody tells them? And how is anyone going to tell them unless someone is sent to do it? That's why Scripture explains, a sight to take your breath away, grand possessions of people telling all the good things of God. But not everybody is ready for this, ready to see and hear and act. Isaiah asks what we all ask at one time or another. Does anyone care, God, anyone listening and believing a word of it? The point is, before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. Amen.
Amen. So, this week, we may not do it all today, but there are going to be questions that we're going to try to answer, like what is knowing versus believing. We need to know the difference. What comes first, belief or knowledge? We need to know the difference. And then we need to know biblically what believing is, what it is called. Believing in God, but not knowing God. We need to answer those questions. What is called when you believe in God and you're not sure? See, we got people out here, they're not real sure, but I promise you, I'm going to give you about five different things to do or that you can make lists, and I guarantee you're going to know God. And we're going to talk about some of those ways that you can get to know God. The brother said something yesterday about elementary. Listen, brothers and sisters, believing is basic elementary. Living in Christ is an advanced. But let me tell you what, believers are believers. And this is what we're all going to be judged on. It starts with believing. But if you're not sure what believing is, then you might want to stick around. You may want to stick around. And even if you know, this can only enhance what you know this week. Because you might want to know the purpose in believing. Because, see, without believing, you can't deal with God. Oh, I never heard that. Yeah. See, the only people that's going to have eternal life is believers. So you need to know that you know that you're a believer. Only people go, it's not going to church. It's not how many scriptures you know. It's not, no, believing is all predicated. The most famous scripture on the face of the earth is John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. So all are predicated on believing in Christ. So it starts with believing, and it ends with believing. The guy on the cross, he believed that Christ, that Jesus was the Christ. He believed that. So he said to him, when you get into thy kingdom, remember me.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So it started with confessing, and it's going to end with confessing. And so those are some things that we're going to get into this week. So let's start with we're at Romans 10. And how you want somebody to believe? And listen, brothers and sisters, I get it. I know some of y'all been there, done that. I get all of that. But how you expect somebody to believe something that they don't know nothing about? So therefore, it's come knowledge. But not any kind of knowledge. You want truth. That's how this starts. It starts with truth. So knowing and believing are different words that are often used in religious teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing means that you possess knowledge. So we need to talk about knowledge. It suggests, and it can be debated, but what is knowledge? What kind of knowledge? So we may have to deal with that a little bit. On the other hand, believing means that you have accepted something to be true, or you are confident and having trust in something. Now, I'm going to give you a little illustration, and then we're going to move on, because sometimes people don't know. Sometimes believing and knowledge work together. For instance, there's a chair. Now, your mind tells you, now, just like, for instance, so you can get a better idea of what I'm talking about. Let's say you have a chair there, and that chair, it looks a little wobbly. You know, it looks a little wobbly. I don't know that thing will hold me in that. But you know it's a true chair. That's knowledge. You know that. Now, if you go and sit in it, you believe it'll hold you. So it's kind of worked together in that sense. You got the knowledge that it's a chair, but you're going to have to believe that it's going to hold you up. So you sit down in it. Now, y'all don't have to raise your hand now, but how many people ever sit in a chair and you go, uh-oh? I mean, but before you sit in it, you know it's a chair, but you go like, uh-oh, wait a minute. And then you sit in it, and it wasn't kind of sturdy enough, but it was a little wobbly, but you believe, so you stayed on in it. See, that's what believing is. Believing is acting on that knowledge.
Yeah,
that's what believing is. And yes, the knowledge is true. So that's what he's saying over in Romans 10. How you want somebody to believe in God? They don't have no knowledge about God. Who God is, what he is. So what? How you want them to believe in it? So part of our job as minister is give people true knowledge, biblical knowledge. Just don't tell them to believe. Give them reasons to believe. Well, how'd that come? Amen. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we may not do it today, but do you realize faith is the servant of the believer? That's our servant. And ready to help us make it through. That as believers now, not doubters, because you got a bunch of doubters out here. But I'm talking about faith becomes that substance. That becomes that thing you can stand on. That's the word of God. Because at the end of the day, that's what faith is. And Jesus happened to be the writer of it, the author of it. So that becomes our servant. And we won't get into that part today, but we will cover it. Trust me, we will cover it if it's God's will. Okay. What comes first, you ask? Belief or knowledge? And like I said, on yesterday we talked from Matthew 7:24-25, and we'll go back there too because I know I had said we'll get there, but we will go back there. But first let me answer this here. What comes first, belief or knowledge? Now, this will be debated. Let me tell you that right now. But in most basic and sense that we expect, for an example, representation of belief to be computed more quickly than representation of knowledge. Believing a jump out. Belief is more basic than knowledge. Because in the knowledge, representation may depend on representation of belief. Now, that may not make sense to you yet, but I want you to think about it. I want you to think about what I just said. Without going over everything, I want to say this. Believing is not the same as knowing. Believing is secondhand knowledge. Rather, knowing is firsthand experience. So when your action comes from a level of belief, there is fear, doubt. That's why most of us want to know something first. We don't want to invest until we know what's going to happen. We just don't, and that's part of the human way of doing things. We just don't act on stuff unless we have some kind of, I don't want to say documentation, but unless we have some kind of substance that we know. I gave y'all an illustration on yesterday. I'd rather believe, brothers and sisters, even though there's a difference. But believing, to me, has more substance than knowing. And you would go, okay, but preacher, why would you say that? See, because if you're believing for it, there's a possibility what you trusting in and relying on when it comes to the word of God. Now, let me put a pin there because I want to be clear. When it comes to the word of God, if what I'm telling you is true, when it comes to the word of God, you're dependent on the word of God. You accept the fact that it's true. You accept that the word of God is true as you know it from Genesis to Revelation. You don't care about all this other stuff. As far as you're concerned, the Bible is true. If you know it or if you don't. So, let me say this too, because that's another thing. Nelson Bible Dictionary defines faith as a belief in or confidence, your attitude toward God. That's what faith is. And it really involves in a commitment to his word. And that's part of what we're talking about, making the word of God the final authority. Let that become the final authority. So Nelson says belief is to place one's trust in God's truth. Not what you feel now, not what you think, but you placing trust in God's truth. So if you're saved today, is only because you place trust in the word of God. You made that word the final authority. So a person who believes is one who takes God at his word and trusts in him for salvation. That's what that is, see?
Mm-hmm.
So then faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, once you have accepted that and you taking God at his word, and you taking God at his word, and I want to make sure I'm not losing no one in this, but there's a lot of, I want to say philosopher, who views this a little different because of they're unknown or they're unknowing. Because I'm be honest with you, there's a lot of people who know what the word of God says, but they don't believe one word of it. They won't act on one word of it, but they have the knowledge. They can tell you what year, what this means, what that means. They got all that knowledge, but they don't believe it.
Have mercy.
Keep believing requires you to act on the word of God. Matter of fact, believing demands action. If you believe, it demands action. It creates action. When you have knowledge, that's mainly mental access. In other words, you admire that. Ooh, you think it's awesome. But that does not act because you know something. It does not act. Acting on the word is letting Christ act through you. Acting on the word then gives God an opportunity. And I'm going to give y'all some illustration here before I close. It's like taking him at his word. Lord, your word says this, and I'm claiming it, and you're confessing it, and that's where you're at. You're believing it. I know they're supposed to pay me, but Lord, you know what? I'm depending on you. Because, see, my job one time, we just knew we were going to get our check. I mean, why? We knew that because we done worked. But what we didn't know is that there was a lot of stuff going undercover, and when they had messed up our payroll, they didn't have money in that bank. It had been transferred from one bank to another. We didn't even get paid.
Oh,
so guess what? I believe that my bills will get paid. I believe that now. Above my check, because the next week we didn't know we were going to get paid either. So I start learning to believe God beyond what I thought I knew, because I thought I knew something. But I had to believe God for my bill because my job was so shaky. And the problem, the only way you understand this, is you have to have had a job like this that you didn't know if you were going to get a check or not. That's when it becomes real. But anyway, so, like I said, we'll answer the rest of these questions probably, like I said, before the week's out. But the start of this show is about believing. Giving the word its place is giving Christ his position of lordship. And Brother Robinson, yes, Minister Robinson yesterday was talking about kingship and queenship. But he's King of Kings and Lords of Lords. So if you're going to have kingship, it's through him. If you're going to have a lordship, Christ has to become Lord, Master. Well, you have to believe for that. And let me tell you what believing works like this, brothers and sisters. It elevates. And if I can explain this, you know, every level of life, there's a different experience, there's a different level. Like when you was in the first grade, you learned this. When you was in the third grade, you learned that. When you was in the fifth grade, you learned. So every level of knowledge comes different experiences. Well, so it is with believing. Once you start believing that Christ is your Savior, then all this other stuff comes into fruition.
Mm-hmm.
Let me let
Amen.
See, so when I declare and decree that I'm the very righteousness of God, it's because the word of God, that's what I'm believing. I'm depending on it as truth. So when I tell you 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God made Jesus to be my sin, don't ask me anything about sin because I got his righteousness. What you need to do is go ask Christ what he did with the sin. Now, if you know anything about Jewish teaching, they would put it on the back of a skate and it would go out into the wilderness. That's what it did with sin. But anyway, when I tell you that Christ became that sacrifice for my sin, well, I go to what I depend on, which is Hebrews 7:25. So I go to the truth. When I tell you that we can live victoriously because we're living in the word of God, and it has nothing to do with what I feel. It has to do with knowledge. Remember, truth, then knowledge, then belief. So you got to get some truth to have that knowledge. Now, I know that's going to be debated because you can have some knowledge without the truth. But it's bad if you're trying to live on that. If you got knowledge, you want to have the truth of that knowledge.
Yeah.
So you can believe.
Amen.
Like that chair I was talking about. Okay, I got knowledge enough to know this is a chair. Now, I got that knowledge. But if it's going to hold me up, I need some truth. I understand it's wobbly. Then when you tell me, hey, I put bolts in there and it just gonna wobble like that, but it's okay, it will hold you, then you can believe. Because I know that based on what you just said, it's gonna hold me up, see? So it's just like when you talk about law and grace. Christ is the end of the law. I don't need no law. I got grace. I'm living by grace. Mm-hmm. I'm living by truth. So that's why I'm believing in it. So that's not why I'm trying to practice sin. I'm busy trying to practice righteousness.
Okay.
You see?
Amen.
Because that's what I'm believing in. I believe in the New Testament. The Old Testament was just a past. And not only was it a path, but it was a pathway to the New Testament. Without the old, you have no new. Woo, say that one more time, preacher. Without the first, you have no second. And when you read Hebrews 8 and 7 and Hebrews 9 and 1, that was the first covenant. Now we're living under the second covenant, which is Hebrews 8 and 7. And if I go through all these scriptures, it'll take me... We'll be here for hours, but look them up and read it. You'll see. Make a note there. The first covenant is Hebrews 8, 7, Hebrews 9, and 1. That's the first one. That's not the one you're living by. You're living by the second one, which is Hebrews 8, 7 and Hebrews 10, 9 through 1. Get that knowledge. Then you can believe in it. That's why I believe in the New Testament. That's why I believe in the new covenant, because I have the truth and I have the knowledge, so therefore I believe. Okay, all right. Well, we're not finished. We're not finished, but that's what we got for today. Anyone have any question or you want to add to or share to, press one, and we'll let you in. Hallelujah. And for those that was waiting on me to get back, to Matthew 7:24-25, we'll jump on it tomorrow, because you need to know everyone therefore that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man. That right there ought to tell you something, how you become wise without knowledge. Who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, and the flood came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why? Why didn't it fall? Because he became a doer of what he learned. You got a lot of people got knowledge, and they don't do it. Like I talk about this all the time, too. I talk about we're the church. Then if you have the knowledge to know that 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that no, you're not, you are the temple. You don't know this. Now, if you've got that knowledge, then why don't you act like that? Act like you're the temple of God. Act like you're the church. Be the church. Where people, they don't get that. You know why? Because they don't have the knowledge. And I give them the knowledge, then they don't believe because they won't act on it. If they act on it, they'll know that the church is not stable, but it's a mobile church that Christ put in. I didn't put this church out there to become mobile. Jesus did that in Matthew 28. Go ye therefore. He never told you to go somewhere and just stay there. Never told the church to stay anywhere. But he said, go ye therefore. Oh, I get that. Well, no, you don't get it. If you're not going, you're not being mobile, and you're telling people to come to the church instead of you being the church, and Christ is the head of it. You're not getting it. You think you got it. See, we got a lot of folks who think they know, but they don't have the truth. So when you get the truth, then you got knowledge, then you can believe. And believing requires corresponding action. And like I said, we'll pick up on that tomorrow about Matthew 7:24-25. We'll pick up on that because I want you to know what happened to a person who have this wisdom but don't use it. Because the day will come when you will be challenged. See, the Bible says everyone that hears these words and do them not. You hear them now, both of your wives, but you hear them. And you didn't do them. You shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. See, the hearer must become a doer, or else the entire structure that he built will be destroyed. So that's what Jesus was illustrating over there in Matthew 7:24-25. For those, I've had a couple people wanted to kind of come back and see what that means. And then James 1:22-125 really capped that off. But anyway, anybody else have any comments? Anything they want to say? Brother Robinson had to go. Anyone else?
Well, Pastor, I just wanted to read John 3:16 from the New Living Bible. He was talking about believe, and that was one of the scriptures you had said earlier. So reading it from the New Living Translation, it said, for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Amen.
Amen. Your eternal life is going to be predicated on you believing the word of God, not what a preacher say, not what I say, please, not what I say, but believing the word of God. You trust in that word. So just don't trust. Go and read it. Understand it.
Mm-hmm.
That way you're going to have life. Because see, the mistake I made in life earlier was that, well, this preacher, I admired him, and this person I admired, and they said it, so therefore I had to believe it. Well, not so. Not so. I can believe what the mm-hmm. Word of God says, aside from what these preachers, people say. See?
Amen.
So that's what I'm telling you. You're to believe the Word of God aside from all this other stuff. And if you'll be honest,
amen.
The preachers, they wouldn't let you go. They wouldn't tell you to go because they feel like they had to nurse you. They had to teach you, had to spoon feed. And I got some preacher pride right now thinking people shouldn't go out there without a degree, without their knowledge, without them instructing them on what to say. Yeah, there's some folk out there right now think that. Because, see, they preach a couple sermons, so they think, yo, experts at this stuff. So, you know, hey, I need to tell you what to say and what to do and how to say and how to do. You don't need that. You don't need that. The Holy Ghost will teach you. I promise you. All you got to do is be willing to learn, to obey. It's going to happen. But I'm going to give you, maybe on tomorrow, we will talk about those four ways, five ways, maybe even six ways, maybe even seven ways. The more I think about it, how people, you know, knowing God, believing in God, being able to trust God. And we'll give you that on tomorrow. And thank you so much, Pastor. Anyone else? Press one. Anyone else? Okay. We'll see you all on tomorrow for the Word.